Chapter 3, Pulmonary Complaints.
Now let's move on and talk about some of the pulmonary infections that we need to worry about with AIDS patients. Now, in this patient, the case that we've been working through, we, of course, got a chest x-ray, and it had possibly pneumonia there. It was a little bit difficult to tell, but a CT scan of his chest was obtained later. And actually, you can take a look at the pictures of the CT scan. It's much more revealing. So they're up on the website and they're also in your phone app. Now, just like we said up front, the most important thing is that you're covering for all the common infections that anyone could get in their lungs. And that's exactly what Leanne is saying that she did. So you want to make sure you cover for strep pneumo and H flu. These are actually way more common in HIV patients, even patients who have a higher CD4 count. It's going to present just like pneumonia. It's going to be usually an acute onset. They're going to be coughing up purulent sputum. You may hear crackles. You might see consolidation on their x-ray. So you got to be thinking about covering the common bugs. They're still common.
So that's absolutely right, Jess. You're going to cover for the common causes of community-acquired pneumonia. That's your first priority here. So of course, that's strep pneumo. That's the atypicals. And then there's the gram-negative rods that these patients can get just the same as immunocompetent people. But in terms of the opportunistic infections like PCP, tuberculosis, you know, the fact of the matter is in a sick patient like this, you might not be able to make those diagnoses on top of the fact that they've got a pulmonary infection.
Right.
So quite frankly, in the gentleman that we spoke to, we're going to be empirically treating him for PCP pneumonia. And we're also going to be considering the fact that he might have tuberculosis. And you may not have anything specific that's going to tell you that those things are going on. If they're severely immunodeficient, both need to be considered.
Right. So this patient for sure is going in an isolation room and we're starting him on empiric coverage for PCP. And he even said, this feels like the last time that I had PCP. Well, I'm going to believe him and we're going to make sure we cover him for that.
In terms of how PCP usually presents, it's usually a little more subacute than pneumonia. So it's very analogous to our discussion about cryptococcus. Is unlike acute bacterial meningitis, it's more subacute. And instead of regular bacterial pneumonia, PCP is more subacute. So it might be 2 or 3 weeks of shortness of breath, not feeling well, low energy. They might have dry cough with it, but it's not as dramatic and as acute as a typical bacterial pneumonia.
The classic chest x-ray finding that's described in textbooks is that you may see these bilateral perihilar ground glass opacities or diffuse interstitial infiltrates. But guess what? Not so much in real life.
That's right. They might not be there. The other thing that is a hallmark of this diagnosis on lab testing is an elevation of LDH. And so usually patients with PCP pneumonia will have an LDH that's 2 or 3 times normal. The treatment for PCP pneumonia, the first line treatment is
trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole.
Oh, that was very good. I'm so glad you said it, not me, because that is the generic name for Bactrim, and you treat them for several weeks with that. But the other important thing is that they need steroids often along with the antibiotics, or else they don't get better. And that's because there's a big inflammatory component to this. And so if there's any degree of hypoxia, the patient's hypoxic, the SAT is low, the blood gas is less than 75, PO2, you add steroids along with the antibiotics.
Can we have a little bit of story time? I want to tell the story really quickly because it was so fascinating about the name PCP pneumonia. We all learned it as Pneumocystis carinii, but it turns out that that organism, which is actually a fungus, is not the one that grows in humans. The one that grows in humans had to be reclassified and named differently. And the scientist who discovered it was
Otto Yudovich.
And he was credited for discovering the true pathogen, which is the one that grows in humans. So now it's called PC.
No, you can still call it PCP pneumonia.
Right.
But the actual organism, if they ask you, it's not Pneumocystis carinii, it's Pneumocystis Yudovichki.
That's
Italian version.
Right.
Can I make a point? If you think of the name Yudovich and you add a ski at the end, it does not make it sound Italian, okay? It sounds Russian, okay? Fellini, Berlusconi, Farfalla, they're no ski in Italian, no ski, okay? Anyway, also Yudovich is a Czech name. Come on.
Now, of course, we also know that tuberculosis is more common in AIDS patients as well. So when do I need to be worried about this? How do I differentiate TB from all of the other bacterial causes of pneumonia in an AIDS patient?
Well, I guess for that one, I could say there's kind of good news and there's bad news.
Okay, I want the bad news first.
Bad news, Jess, is that you don't have to be particularly immunocompromised mm-hmm. with your HIV. Mm. You don't have to have a very low CD4 count okay. with your HIV to be at high risk for converting to TB. Patients, as soon as they convert to HIV, get high risk for TB. So you have to consider it at any CD4 count. The good news is that the patients that get TB mm-hmm. that are relatively healthy, that have relatively high CD4 counts, mm-hmm. they present the same way as immunocompetent people. They'll have findings on their chest X-ray. They'll be symptomatic in the same way that you're used to. But patients that have the very low CD4 counts, you know, they might not have hardly any manifestations. You might not see much on the chest X-ray. And the fact of the matter is that if they come in with pulmonary complaints and their low CD4 count, you just kind of have to assume it could be there until you rule it out.
Great. That makes sense.
So just to round things out, Jess, there's a whole bunch of other infections that they can get in their lungs. In patients that have low CD4 counts, they can get all the fungal type of pneumonias, so like aspergillosis, histoplasmosis, coccidioidomycosis, those ones. And they can also get, when they're even more immunocompromised, the very low CD4 counts, Mycobacteria avium complex, MAC, that's usually an end-stage type of thing, CMV is a viral herpes virus that they can get, also usually a very end-stage thing. In terms of non-infectious lung lesions, they can also get Kaposi's sarcomas and lymphomas. And so there's basically the same host of infectious and non-infectious exotic things that they can get.
So since patients are living so much longer with HIV and better controlled illness, other disease processes are presenting that are a result of chronic inflammation. So these patients are at higher risk for coronary artery disease and strokes and even pulmonary embolism.
So pulmonary infections in the HIV positive AIDS patient, really common. So they get the usual stuff like strep and Haemophilus influenza, and they get it way more common than people who are not immune suppressed. And their presentations can be quite subtle. So you've got to be on the lookout for it. Now, PCP, Pneumocystis jurevesi, produces a sort of a chronic cough and fevers and shortness of breath, and they classically have a high LDH, and the chest X-ray can be anything from normal to pneumothoraces even, or this ground glass pattern. They get treated with Bactrim and steroids if they're hypoxic. And TB is super, super duper common, and especially in the late stages of disease, like hundreds of times more common than the rest of the population. And they can also get sort of direct viral infections and other opportunistic infections like CMV, MAC, histoplasmosis, cocci, toxoplasmosis, crypto, aspergillosis, so a whole bunch of things. And remember, in addition to that, they can also get lymphomas and Kaposi sarcoma and just a pulmonary sort of interstitial inflammation syndromes. So when that person comes in complaining of shortness of breath or cough or things that refer to the lung, you got a pretty wide differential, and the chest X-ray a lot of the time is atypical, making it pretty hard. So you're probably just going to treat empirically for community-acquired pneumonia. Then you're going to add some Bactrim to cover your PCP, and then you're going to continue your workup. And if they're sick, they stay, and if they're not, then maybe they can get followed up at an outpatient clinic. Complicated.
How'd that lumbar puncture go?
It went really well.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. One poke.
What was the opening pressure?
24.
Did you talk to medicine to get him admitted yet?
Yeah, the medicine team knows him pretty well since he goes to their special services HIV clinic.
And what antibiotics, antimicrobials you want to start him on?
Well, I started him on vancomycin for some broad spectrum coverage because he's allergic to penicillins. And I started him on acyclovir as well, just in case he's got some viral meningitis going on.
And then what about fungal coverage?
Oh yeah, I added fluconazole too.
So let me give you the follow-up on how this patient actually did. So his CSF came back with a few white cells, but the India ink stain was negative. Now later on, that cryptococcal antigen actually came back positive, and he was also treated for PCP pneumonia. And Stuart, you want to know what his CD4 count came back at?
I would be guessing that it's going to be under 100 in this guy, just based on his presentation.
Came back at 22.
Peer review.
Our peer reviewer, Dr. Jacobson, wanted to mention here that one of the common misconceptions with MAC, that's Mycobacterium avium complex, is that it presents like TB, but actually that's not typically the case. With MAC, it's usually going to hit the bone marrow first and then start to involve the lymph nodes and sometimes the biliary tree as well. So you should think about the possibility of MAC if there's an isolated anemia, an elevated alkaline phosphatase, or retroperitoneal lymphadenopathy. You're more likely to see that than pulmonary involvement initially.